to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Oh, gosh. It's one of those days we already forgot what we're doing.
Yeah, it's okay. Patrons will know what we're talking about because I'm going to leave that little bit for them. I'll cut it for the regular ones. So we just have, I messed up the intro. Let's just say that again. I forgot last week. I forgot this week. It's cool. It's all
good. Once again, our podcast, we can do whatever we want. We can change it whenever we want.
Yeah, it's our podcast and we'll mess up the intro if we want to.
Yeah, maybe we want to have it different to see if you're paying attention.
Right.
That's
fine. Do you know where you're at? Do you know what podcast you're listening to?
Yeah, we're here to remind you and to keep you on your toes at all times.
You know.
Just the huge.
But yeah. How it goes.
So thanks everyone for tuning in again. We love to have you here. Every week it's exciting because I just never know who's going to listen and who we're going to hear from. And it's kind of fun. It's like a little
surprise. It's always fun. I love it. We're having a good time. Exciting things in our future. I think we'll still wait a little bit to talk about. But yeah. What?
Yeah. 2023 is our year. It has to be the year for everyone. I feel like everyone's had a couple of really shitty years. So here we go.
We're on the up and up now, I really hope. So yeah. Reminder, we have a Patreon page. Link to that is in the show notes. You can find it on our socials as well. If you want to get an ad-free episode, get it a little early, hear what the mess up intro sounded like, you know.
All the fun things. Yeah, check it out.
So, yeah, my brain is all over the place today. So, you know,
I was trying to think too. I was like, oh, what do we need to share? And I don't even know. I just can't believe it's been a whole week already since our last recording. And I feel like we just did that like last week. So
yeah, exactly. And also like today's a fairly decent day out, but apparently tomorrow's supposed to be Snowmageddon.
Yeah. I'm already surprised they have not canceled school because here, usually when the wind blows, they cancel. So it's probably coming. From what I've seen is that it's supposed to start tomorrow, like midday.
At 4 this morning, well, like 4:30 when I was up to go do my workout, people were talking about how it was supposed to start in the morning and they were talking like ice before it and then snow. Oh, so who knows?
You know, it depends on who you ask because you'll get a different answer from everyone.
Exactly. Because my only thing is like, there's a part of me that's like, I wouldn't mind a snow day, except I've picked up hours. And so I have 3 clients, but one of them is a regular and I've already texted him. And I was like, hey, if this happens, here's what I have available to move you to.
Yep. Not messing around with that.
You know, I want to get ahead of the game. So maybe when you guys are listening, you'll be snowed in at home. If you're driving and it is snowy, please drive safe. Mm-hmm. Maybe there'll be no snow whatsoever.
Yeah. You know, it could range anywhere from 0 inches to 75 inches, as people like in Nebraska like to say, because you just don't know. And I don't know. People get so worked up about it and then like nothing happens and it's really annoying. But it's not anything we're not used to. We know how this goes and we will complain about it to each other multiple times. So this is just the beginning, Cassie. You'll hear from me tomorrow when I'm pissed that I had to take my kid to school or whatever. So,
right. If there is snow and ice on the ground and I still have to go to work and the kids still have to go to school, I will be mad.
Yeah, I will definitely be mad.
Like if it's going to do this, I'd rather everything just be canceled.
I know. I agree. And do it before it even starts because I don't want to have to deal with going and picking my child up early. So,
or finding out last minute. I was talking to my daughter's bus driver this morning and he said there was one time where it took him like 30 minutes to even get to the bus depot. And it usually only takes him like 15. Then he spent forever like cleaning off the bus just for them to turn around and be like, oh, hey, school's canceled today.
Oh, I'd be pissed.
And he said, usually when that happens, they'll pay him for a couple hours. He said they paid him for 20 minutes. And I was like, and this is why OPS doesn't have bus drivers.
This is why there's a shortage of, just bus drivers in general. That's really sad. That sucks.
Yeah.
Hopefully they figure it out ahead of time then, because I don't have time for that crap. That sucks.
I'm hoping that by like 5 or 6 p.m. at the latest, you know? They're like,
I know.
Yeah.
Be done we'll with see. It.
We'll see. Yeah. But, all right. Yeah. Well, so should we jump right in?
Let's do it. Let's do
it. I say jump right in. Like, we haven't been talking for 5 minutes about
it. I know. Per usual, you know, it's fine. I have a friend that just started listening down in Florida, and she actually started on our latest episode, and I was like, oh no. Oh no. I said, I promise they're not all like kind of just all over the place. Like, we haven't taken our Adderall type situation.
Kind of all over the place.
I mean, yeah, that one was worse than normal. I'm like, hey, just so you know, this was the situation. But I was like, please don't just stop listening after that one, because we do talk a lot. She's like, no, I love it. I was like, okay. So that's just who we are, okay?
Right. I mean, we've both discussed multiple times that we like the podcast where people chat.
Yeah. Because you get to know them a little bit. And yeah, it's nice.
And that's where we're at. And so for the people who don't like the chit-chat, like, that's cool. We're not for you.
Yeah. But, and that's fine. And we still chit-chat outside of here. We went to lunch the other day, and we didn't even talk about the podcast, really. It was mostly just
we did all the other things. But
for like 1 minute, maybe.
And then it was the dogs. There was a lot about the dogs.
There was a lot going on there. So just so you know, this is how we always are. We're just like squirrel, you know, like all the time. It's pretty fine. Normal. It's, you know, it's fine. Listen, but yeah, as you were saying,
we're on episode 44. If you've been with us since the beginning, you already know, and you clearly love us anyways.
Yeah. It's no surprise to you that this conversation is even happening. So
yeah. So like, didn't you say like 2 minutes ago you were going to start the story? Yes.
Oh, it's fine. We just wanted to tell you that real quick. Okay.
All right. So this week we are going to Minnesota. And first, also, I have to say sorry to my sister. She was trying to help me find something, and I knew I wanted Minnesota, and she was trying to help me look up things, and I was going to go so many different routes for this episode, and I just kept changing my mind. So sorry, sister. I changed my mind again, but I do appreciate the help you put in.
Yes. Thank you, sister.
Yes. So this week I am talking about the murder of Earl Olander, who was a 90-year-old farmer who lived in San Francisco Township, Minnesota. And this is a rural part of Carver County. And now, I hadn't really heard about this case. However, if you followed the 2016 elections, specifically Trump and his campaign, so that's why I didn't hear him speak about this, because that wasn't my favorite, but you know, you may recognize the name, because he decided to try to use this case to further his agenda against like immigration and things like that. And of course, he got a lot of facts wrong, but you know, I won't go down that, but that's where we're at. 2020 actually did a episode on this case, and it was just this past November. So it's season 45, episode 8, and it's called Divine Intervention.
I did not watch that one. I usually watch those like weekly, which because I'm a loser, but I don't remember that one. I don't remember.
Well, I'll tell you all about it. So there isn't like a whole lot of information, you know, on Earl. He was born January 13th of 1925. He was actually born on the land he lived and farmed on like his whole life. Like, he never left this. Like, this was his family's land. I think they were Norwegian. They had immigrated here however long ago. And they've just been on this land for forever. So at the time of his murder, he was living in a newer house that he had built on the land, but the original homestead that he was born in is actually still on the property.
Oh, wow. That's pretty miraculous.
Yeah.
Cool. So
that was interesting. Yeah, he did have a sister, and I don't know if she was older or younger, and she had been married. She passed before him and had children of her own, but Earl himself remained a bachelor and never had any kids of his own, but he had a lot of nieces and nephews and great nieces and nephews and stuff, so he still had a good amount of family. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, he didn't have any children or grandchildren of his own. He was also really close to a family that lived near him, and they were Bill and Maria Boker and their children. And it sounds like he would spend some holidays with them, like Christmas. It sounds like he spent Christmas with them all the time, sometimes Thanksgiving. Their daughters looked at him as like a grandpa. And it just sounds like everyone in town really loved him. He was a very sweet man.
I do church. Love a good old man, like a sweet old man.
And he's adorable.
Not the creepy
like,
kind, but...
yeah. If you look at his, like, his photo, he's so adorable. Church was very important to him. He was a big part of his church. And they interviewed, it was like a Lutheran church. And they were interviewing his... Lutherans are pastors, right? I don't know. She had the collar like a Catholic priest, but like it was a Lutheran
church.
Sometimes
old school churches do that.
But she was a female. So I don't know.
Oh, that's
but
true.
The leader of this church was a woman, but she was where, I don't know. But, you know. So, yeah. And where am I at? But, yeah. So, at 90 years old, Earl was still very independent and self-sufficient. Like, he lived on this farm by himself.
I mean, and, good for him. 90s, yeah. That's pretty old. I mean, that is old, but...
Yeah, and he was still working the farm. I don't know if he was, like, farming anymore. I think that said they had, like, corn and beans on it, or if he had other people doing that. But he would still, like, bale hay. And actually, he was a big fan of attending the weekly hay and cattle auction. It was every Thursday. And
it's
this
just
comes
adorable.
And this comes into play later, but like they interviewed the people who ran that and stuff. And they talked about how he was there every single Thursday. Like this was his day out, you know, and stuff like that.
I'm already pissed because I don't want Earl to die. I don't even know the whole thing, but I'm just mad because I hate whoever did that to him because he's sweet.
I know. And when you said Earl, you didn't want Earl to die. And then I thought of the Dixie Chicks song.
I know.
Earl had to die.
When I said it, I was like, did I mean to say Earl or what, did that song?
No.
Okay. It is Earl.
My
okay.
sister used to love that song and I hated it so much because we listened to it so frequently. I mean, I get it. You know, if a man's abusing your friend, you bury him.
Right.
I get it.
But it was just a little like too hyped up. People were very into it and I just, couldn't get on the bandwagon.
I think that's because, you know, that's before it became more acceptable to be like, I will bury you if you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yep.
So anyways, so on Saturday, April 11th of 2015 at 7 p.m., a call comes in that Earl had been found lifeless in his living room. And now I'm a little confused on if like family members found him and then they called the cops or if like a wellness check was being done. I feel like they weren't very clear about that. But either way, Earl's found, police show up there. And, I guess at this point, Earl had missed, like, a card game that he always played with his brother-in-law and some friends. And so that's where it's, like, they got concerned about this. They couldn't get a hold of him. And so they go and check on him. But it turns out that he had actually missed that Thursday auction as well. So police actually believe he had been killed on Wednesday, April 8th. And we'll get into that a little bit more and stuff, but so that's, it was a few days before Earl was actually found. When police arrive on the scene, they find Earl on his stomach in his living room. He had been beaten to death.
Oh my gosh.
So his
hands...
That
sickens me. Like, who fights a little elderly old man?
I mean,
not
little,
but just, when you're 90, you're probably like more frail than, you know, when
actually,
you were younger.
He didn't even look 90. And now the pictures that they show, the pictures they show, like maybe they weren't recent, but the pictures they show, if this is him close to 90 or even in his 80s, the man looks good and still stout and...
Well, I'm going to need to know what skincare products he uses then to look that good at 90, because either way, who beats an old man? I mean, that's just sick. I don't know.
Especially because we'll come to find out, like, they were young, like,
they could have killed him.
Because, so his hands were tied behind his back with duct tape, and his feet had actually been tied as well with duct tape, but he had broken those free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah, so, like, they clearly overpowered him, right? So they didn't need to beat him. But police say there was also a circular pattern of blood around Earl's head, leading police to conclude that he had been alive for a while and trying to stand up before he ultimately died of his wounds.
Oh, that hurts my heart so bad. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
that is
and they,
awful.
they say several times in the episode that like he suffered, unfortunately. Like he was probably alive for quite a while before he finally passed.
The poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful. I hate this. I hate everything about this.
So the house had been completely ransacked. Like everything was torn apart and it seemed like the murderer or murderers were searching for something. And the police said with how torn apart this house was, they had to have been in there for a while. So they figure with all of this, there's got to be some sort of DNA or something, right? So they collect over 90 pieces of evidence.
Oh, wow.
They even like peel apart the duct tape, trying to find fingerprints and things like that. They did also find 3 different shoe prints, one from an Adidas, which was found inside a drawer and on a chair in the kitchen. So like they were stepping on things to like look to up reach. And into things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they also found some from a croc, like a pair of Crocs.
Yeah, don't.
And that was in the kitchen too. And then there was a third print from an Avia shoe on a back porch step.
So 3 different people is what we're thinking if there's 3 shoe prints, right?
Yes.
Jeez.
So another piece of information that the investigators are kind of looking at when trying to determine who these killers could be is the fact that the main road in front of his house was blocked off. And so the detour, unless you were really familiar with this area, the detour you would have taken, you wouldn't have known his house was back there. So you had to be aware. So they think like this is someone.
It out.
Yep. This is someone who knew the area well. And then the police quickly determine that the motive must be money, because even though Earl didn't live like it, this man was worth millions because he had his family farm that's been in the family for generations. Not to mention the farm was doing well for himself. So he had the money already that he inherited, plus the money he's making.
And plus that generation is good at just like saving, you know, like
it sounds like he was fairly frugal too. He didn't own a cell phone. And he only paid for things in like check and cash. So it doesn't sound like he had a credit card, a debit card, or anything like that. And so then that's where you kind of come across that stereotype of, oh, farmers don't trust banks. And so they keep all their money in their home. And so this is what the police think they thought. Whoever these killers were, they believe they assumed that there was money in this house. And what's kind of ironic, too, is in 1985, also in Minnesota, there were a couple of brothers who owned a farm together who were murdered because of this reason. Someone came in. It turned out to be someone from Iowa who eventually confessed. And Earl followed this case really closely, and it made him really nervous. Like, he was always very afraid that this is something that would happen to him. And what's ironic is with as much time as these people spent in Earl's house searching everything, police found a coffee can under the stairs with $900 in it and $280 in a dresser drawer.
Wow.
And like the dresser drawer one sounds like it was fairly open. The coffee can one said it was like hidden under some stairs in the basement. So it's like, did they not go down there? And if you pull everything apart, how did you miss the 280? I don't understand that.
That would be like one of the first places I would look, I would think, is like people hide stuff in like their underwear drawer or like, you know, that kind of thing.
Or like a random can somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were already spending that much time there, that.
Yeah, that's weird. That,
yeah. So looking along the route that the killers would have had to have taken, the police realized that there's like, it was like a town hall or something like that. And they see that there's like a surveillance camera and they're like, fantastic. So they take it. It has an SD card. They're like, yes, no. Last recorded footage was from 2012.
Oh gosh.
And then on top of that, there isn't a single piece of DNA evidence that was left behind at that scene. So of all those 90 pieces, nothing that could link anyone to this. So the only thing they have at this point is those 3 shoe prints.
That's crazy that they were, like, they didn't leave anything behind, but somehow their shoe prints they left behind. I mean, that makes me curious, like, what kind of people these are, what they are, whatever. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Can't talk.
So now, actually, 3 months prior to Earl's murder, his neighbors, the Bokers, had actually had $30,000 stolen from a lockbox that was in their closet, which I'm like, that's a lot of money to just be chilling in your house.
Yeah, no thanks. Hey, Dark Hearts, we wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a faint call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts. This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie.
But, so they had gone out of town, their kids were still at home, and so the only people with access to the house would have been their kids and an employee of Bill's, which was a man named Reynold Vergara, and he went by Henry. And so, like, Bill owned a painting company, and Henry was, like, one of his best employees. Like, I guess people always requested Henry and stuff like that. So the kids are questioned. They asked if they had a party or any strangers in the house, and they said no. Henry was interviewed, you know, questioned, and they couldn't connect him to it. So the case went unsolved. And it also seems like the Bill and Maria didn't seem to suspect Henry either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't seem to think it was him. And now Bill and Henry actually both become suspects in Earl's murder as well. Because Bill had asked to buy some of Earl's land. Okay. And when 2020 interviewed, like, him and Maria, they said that, yes, they told Bill they told Earl they'd love to live right next to him. But more so as, like, so they could help him out, take care of him as he got older and things like that. But Earl, you know, Earl turned them down. And then Henry was a suspect because he'd actually done some painting for Earl in the home. So both men gave DNA samples, but this was before, you know, the stuff came back and was like, yeah, there's no DNA evidence. So them giving those samples really didn't matter.
Yeah. Well, and if he'd been in there painting anyway, I mean, at one point, like, his DNA could have just been there anyway, so.
Well, and it sounds like he was maybe painting the outside of the house, but there's no reason why he wouldn't have gone inside, because I think at some point they were like, you know, Earl had offered him water and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, well, and if Earl was as close with the Bokers,
yeah,
too.
He probably had been in there at some point, too.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So then on May 9th of 2015, so about a month later, in St. Paul, Minnesota, a tip comes in from a man who said he'd been cleaning an apartment and came across an old Norwegian Bible. And while looking through it, he found two $1,000 bonds with Earl Olander's name on it. So he does a Google search, finds Earl's name, sees there's a reward. I can't remember. They said in 2020, I think it was like $25,000 reward or something.
Wow.
It got fairly high. So he calls 911, is like, hey, I'm cleaning this apartment for these people, found this, seems kind of important. And they're like, yeah, it does. So they find out who had lived in this apartment, and I think they had moved out and asked this man to, like, clean up for them. So,
So they were already, like, out, and he was
Yes.
Okay.
So this was Earl's family Bible, and it was over 100 years old.
Wow.
And it was Norwegian. It was written in Nordic, I don't know, Norwegian language. Not in English.
It sounded so right what you said. This is a real old
family Bible, and it makes me wonder if the Bible itself would have been worth some money.
Probably, if it's that old, and if it's in another language like that.
Yeah.
You know?
So, they find out the person who had lived there before was a man named Edison Benitez and his wife, which I don't think they ever said the wife's name. But when they talked to the wife, she said, oh, he brought it home one night, said it was from his friend, which sounds like Edison got a lot of things from his friends, you know?
Yeah.
Had some sticky fingers.
Like, yep.
But she never opened it because it creeped her out. And so she left it behind there. She said it just didn't feel right. She didn't like it. It scared her. This Bible scared her.
It's weird that a Bible was taken, like, in, well, and they obviously didn't know that those bonds were in there then, maybe, if it was left behind. Or they didn't know what to do with the bonds, if they had them anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't ever go fully into that. So I wonder if they knew the bonds were there and they took it, or if they took the Bible thinking it could be worth money, and then Edson didn't realize his wife left the Bible there.
That's true. Yeah, that's, if she's the one that, like, packed up and stuff, too.
Yeah. Who knows? Exactly. So, they talk to Edson, and they find out, like, he worked, I don't remember, it was like Applebee's, Chili's, something like that. And when they interview him, he has on Crocs.
Oh, sure does.
And as they're talking to him, he tells them the only day off he ever has is Wednesdays.
And that's the day they think
And that's it happened, the day right? they think that Earl was actually killed. So Edson tells him, nope, this Bible, a friend of mine gave it to me, and he moved back to Mexico. Like, he brought it to me the night he was leaving for Mexico. And I'm like, that's pretty convenient. We're going to arrest you now.
Yep.
And once they arrest him, he pretty quickly is just like, okay, I'm going to tell you the truth. So he says that a friend of his, Raynell, a.k.a. Henry, who worked for Bill.
This is the same guy. Okay. Yes.
Contacted him on the 7th. So that Tuesday, and said, hey, I need money. I have a job. I know this farmer who has a lot of money, but people in the area know my car. So do you have a car I can use? So Edson says that he picked him up. He drove him there, and they parked behind this barn there. And then he sat in the car while Henry took out this black bag that had a gun, gloves, and duct tape in it.
Why didn't they just shoot him then? Honestly, like, I mean, if they were going to kill him anyway, I just think, put that guy out of his misery. How terrible.
Yeah. So Edson says he's chilling in the car for like 20 minutes when Henry comes out and is like, hey, I need your help. I can't find the money. And he says that as he comes in, he sees Henry on the floor, kind of moving and moaning. And that Henry tells him if he doesn't tell him where the money is, he's going to die. And he repeats this, and then he hits him several times with a gun. So then they ransack the house. Neither man, I guess, ever says what was taken from the house. I mean, we know the Bible, but we don't know if they took anything else. And, you know, Edson says that when they left, Henry was still breathing, still making some noises and moving a bit, but they did cut his telephone wire, so he couldn't call for help. So they left him for dead.
Yeah.
You know, and Edson
tries
to play
it off. He didn't have a
chance. Yeah. Edson tries to play it off like, oh, it wasn't me, it was Henry. But the thing is like, you didn't do anything to make sure this man could have help.
Right.
So police go to talk to Henry. And of course, when they're talking to him, he's wearing a pair of Adidas. And the bottom of the shoes are the exact same as the shoe prints left at the house.
Okay.
Yep. And he denies ever being there or anything like that. And they're like, well, we're going to go ahead and arrest you too. And he still denies it. And then he says it was all Edson and this other man named Martine. And they're like, well, who is this?
So now there's another guy coming in?
Yeah.
Okay. Well obviously, because there's three pairs of shoes.
Yeah.
I was wondering who those belong to.
The lead detective, like, they were in, like, interviewing her, and she was like, you know, my partner was like, was there someone else? Maybe it wasn't you. So, like, then Henry, like, ran with that. And he was like, no, it wasn't me. It was all Edson and this Martine guy. I don't know Martine. That was, like, a nickname or something, you know? So he denies having, like, he puts himself there, but then, like, really denies any involvement. They're both arrested, and eventually they are given a plea deal of, if they plead guilty to second degree intentional murder, they'll only serve 37 and a half years in prison. So they both take it. Now, Edson will now say there was a third person, and at his sentencing, he claims that Henry's employer, Bill Boker, is the one who set this all up.
Oh, shit.
And the thing is now, apparently Maria and Bill didn't know this until the 2020 interview, but I guess Earl's family, like, was pretty serious about this. And so this third shoe print, police finally determined, like, there was nothing to indicate there was a third person there and that this third shoe print was probably from a different day.
Okay, that would make sense, so, I guess, too.
Yeah, because now Henry and Edson, they had texted each other, so their cell phones pinged off of towers near his place, so they are there.
People never learn. You know, like, leave your freaking phone somewhere else.
Well, and she had even said, she goes, if they hadn't texted each other and we hadn't got those pings, we could not have tied them there minus the shoe prints. But how many people could DNA. Have those shoes? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crocs. Crazy. Who doesn't have, I mean, I don't have Crocs, now, but those are popular.
Yeah. Why though? Can we just say that real quick? Why do those come back? Okay,
I don't
that's
get it.
It.
But
I don't get it either.
Listen, if you have, I hear they're comfy. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, my child has some and is like all about them, and I can't get on board. But you know,
to each their own, I guess.
Exactly.
But, yep. So if they hadn't text each other, which I'm like, why did you need to text each other while you're there and you hear it?
Hey, I'm in the other room.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you almost done in there?
Okay, so that ties them to this, but they have nothing tying a third person there. And if they're texting each other, wouldn't they have texted the third person too then?
Right. And why, for people like the first guy, I'm not even going to try to say their names, but for him to quickly rat out the other guy, like, why wouldn't he just throw another name out there if there was indeed a third person anyway?
Right. So. Edson, yeah. The one who was found with the Bible.
Yes,
exactly.
Thank you.
Him. So So Earl's family actually hires a private investigator to look into Bill Boker. I'm assuming nothing was ever found. Police looked into it. They looked into a bunch of stuff because then, like, Edson was trying to say that the Bokers were paying for Henry's attorneys and things like that. And now Maria did go visit Henry in jail. And they have the interview recorded, but it was like, she was like, we believed you. We loved you. We loved Earl. Oh. Like, if I bring you a priest, will you confess? Because it's Minnesota. It's a very churchy area.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they talked about how they were shocked. Like, they didn't believe it. Like, at first they thought they had the wrong person. Like, there's no way Henry would have ever done this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she went to confront him because this was a, you know, she just needed to know thing.
Yeah, totally.
So I guess, like, yeah, I can't think of the interviewer's name for 2020, but he was like, yeah, did you know there was a private thing? They're like, we would never have done that. What do we have? You know, I get it. But you have to also understand where the family's coming from.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. So I guess, you know, they just think it was these two. A journalist, like, wrote to Edson, and he wrote back still claiming that, you know, they weren't going to arrest the white man and that, you know, he's still kind of implicating Bill Boker. But I think at this point, it just seemed to, you know, that's more of him just trying to deflect. Like, he never wanted to take any responsibility for anything. Like, oh, I was just there helping a friend with a car. And it's like, no, you saw this man on the ground.
And did nothing.
Yeah. So... yeah, like, it's still a shorter case, but like I said, I hadn't really heard of
it. That's pretty crazy. And for there to be a 2020 on it, like, that's a pretty big thing. I mean, that's crazy. I had not heard of that either, and that's a fairly recent timeline, so.
Right? And then I was like, when they were, like, talking about how, like, the whole thing was like, oh, the Bible. So I was like, who would steal the Bible? And I was like, yeah, God got pissed at you for stealing his Bible.
Yeah,
Don't mess with the blessed.
Yeah, that's funny. That's crazy though. Like that's pretty cool. Like that it happened that way, because what are the chances of that? You know, it's ironic, but yeah, well, yeah, that's what happens. You shouldn't be stealing Bibles, man. Especially if you can't read it and it's not even in the right language, unless you're going to sell it. But,
I don't know. Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like, I don't know if the Bible they showed in 2020 was actually the Bible. I'm assuming it wasn't, but mm-hmm. I mean, what they showed was pretty intricate, because then they talk about how the family has the Bible now and family still owns his farm. There was this giant ass boulder on his property that said Oleander. You know, it's like one of those like name rocks, but it was, it was a boulder. I was like, holy
shit. I'm going
to
have to watch this episode. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Wow. So that was on Hulu and you can watch that there, but I just thought that was, I was like, I don't remember hearing about this really.
No, I had not.
Trump's speeches, so.
No. And so wait, how did that tie back to that again? Remind me. So he talked about it.
The two men were Mexican. Oh,
they were illegal, or he claims they were. And because of that, our country is terrible, right?
Okay. Uh-huh. And then he tried to say that they had like criminal records a mile long, and the investigator was like, they didn't. She's like, they had small little run-ins, but like nothing major, like they weren't these like criminal
masterminds.
Has
nothing to do with the fact that like it reminds me of the Molly Tibbetts case in Iowa this would have been around that time too, because I remember everybody was like, it's because he was an illegal immigrant and blah blah blah. I'm like, okay, like no let's
and
not
her
go
dad
down that
even
road.
Came out and was like, no, you don't get to say this. You don't get to use my daughter's murder for this, because she would not want
your platform
that.
That was stupid too.
Yeah. I loved that her dad came out and was like, you don't get to use her murder to try to further your racist agenda.
Right. I agree. That was just ridiculous. And okay. Now I get how it all ties in. Kind of forgot the beginning portion there. Okay, cool. I mean, not cool, but like, wow.
I know what you mean.
At least they got caught. At least Earl got some justice, but that's so terrible. I mean,
it is.
When anyone gets killed, it's terrible, but like, you know, kids and elderly people who really can't defend themselves, I just can't. Like, that's, people are just scum.
They kind of talk about in there, which they don't, so like the lead investigator, she kind of gets pulled off the case at one point because she has to then investigate the death of Prince because he lived in Minnesota.
Oh, I don't know that I ever knew that. That's crazy.
Like Paisley Park. Is in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So
okay.
She had to investigate. Yep. So she had to investigate his death. So like they kind of bring it up, and I was like, okay, she had to get pulled away, but like it, like they weren't like, oh, it affected and it delayed. It didn't sound like it delayed anything. So I'm like, are you just throwing this in there to throw it in?
Just to flex a little bit. Come on.
Right.
We get it. Cool. That's crazy.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, it was interesting to say the least. All the different little like tie-ins and things like that.
Wow, it is interesting. That's yuck. I'm gonna have to go watch that though now, because I'm really curious. And that's pretty cool that, I mean, how they figured it out too. And especially with such little evidence, I think that's hard to figure that kind of thing out too. So that definitely, that Bible was, that was it.
Well, and the thing is again, even with the Bible, though, if they wouldn't have text each other.
To place them at the crime scene. Yes. Yeah. At least, it gave them a good place to start. But then these guys are clearly idiots. I feel like, if anything, once again, not telling you how to commit any crimes. But, like, what do people not learn from this stuff when you hear all these cases about cell phones pinging? And then, like, for example, the Idaho case with that dumbass, how it said he turned his phone off, but then he turned it back on at a certain point, and you could tell he was driving away from the house and towards. It's like, no, you should have never even taken it out of your house, apartment, wherever you were.
No.
Dumb.
Turn Netflix on your phone, leave it in your apartment, then it looks like you're watching Netflix at home.
Yeah.
Not telling you how to get an alibi.
But... I'm like, it's crazy. They can look at that, because they even said how one of the girls was on TikTok at that time. So like, it's pretty crazy the things they can really do and see now. So I think, people like, speaking of 2020, there's actually a 2020 that just came out this week about the Idaho case, which I was like, that's pretty premature because there's so much we still don't know.
They probably just wanted to jump on that bandwagon. Oh, yeah.
Which, and that stuff they shared, I mean, it was still interesting and all that, but like in that, oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought totally 100%. What was I talking about? See, this is what happened, you guys, because we start talking about the case. Oh my gosh. I can't even think of, I don't know. I had a point. I was going down a road. Maybe it was just that there was that 2020 and I watched it just because, duh, you know, let's all jump on that bandwagon too. But I just thought maybe there'd be interesting, I mean, stuff in there, but oh no, that's what it was. I know where I was going with that. They just talked about what a dumb criminal he was and how everyone thought initially like, whoa, whoever did this knew what they were doing. And they're like, no, he was actually a total dumbass because, you know, obviously when they didn't release a lot of that information, like, he was not a smart criminal. I think technology and all the things they have available to them now, it's like kind of hard to be a smart criminal.
Yeah. It's hard to get away with it.
Yeah. Unless you're us. I mean, no,
we clearly would know how to get away with it. Just saying.
Yeah. someone, I had a comment flagged on Facebook the other day, funny story, because it was like a thing that said, you know, I'm not watching the movie if the dog dies, whatever. So I commented on it back with a friend and I said, I don't care about the humans, kill off the humans, leave the dogs. And my freaking comment got reported and it got taken down. And I was like, oh God, this is how it all begins. Cause then if something ever happens, they'll say, well, she was talking about this back then. And you know,
the thing is like, there are comments that I see that I'm like, how is that not flagged and taken down? But then these clearly joke things, they're like,
it's so stupid.
I had a comment one time flagged that was something like, I don't even remember what it was. Like, it was something like very just like, oh, that's really cool. You know what I mean? Like something that mundane. And it got flagged. I'm like, what?
It probably didn't go along with their agenda, whoever Facebook, you know, they didn't like your opinion on it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So stupid. But yeah, that's that. Sometimes it's nice to have shorter episodes. I know I personally enjoy a shorter episode sometimes when I'm like trying to listen to a whole thing. And I hate when I have to stop it anyways, just to go do whatever I'm doing and then come back. So there you go. Two short episodes. Back to back. If you enjoy
I will
that.
Say too, I guess a call for as well. I think we talked about this last week, but now I can't remember. But just in case, February is Black History Month. So we're looking for cases that focus on Black victims. So if you know of any that are lesser known, email us at heartlandperioddarklandpodcast@gmail.com or message us on any of our social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. That's the other one. TikTok. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you can message on TikTok unless you're friends with people, whatever. There's ways to get a hold of us. Let us know. Or if you have your own stories of different cases, things like that, let us know.
Please. Please and thanks.
Yeah.
That's all we got, I think, for today. So,
Until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.